Hi, this is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. And I am back with my next guest, Angeline Boley, and the name of her book is Warrior Girl Unearthed. Hi, Angeline.
Hello.
Wow, what a cover. They really did a great job for you on this cover. It's beautiful.
I agree.
Oh, wow. It's embossed, gold embossed. You know, that's really impressive. It's fantastic. I love holding a book with a beautiful cover in my hand. So, wow. Well, of course you deserve it because you are somebody special, very, very special. And of course, your previous book, Firekeeper's Daughter, was, I think it was the number one New York Times bestseller for quite a long time. It was on the best-selling list. And it's taken you a little while before you came out with a new book, but I know everybody's excited about this new book, Warrior Girl Unearthed. It's impressive what you've written here. You're a fine writer. I mean, of course, we all knew that from the time of Firekeeper's Daughter. But tell us about this new story and about your main character, Perry Firekeeper Birch, because I love that name. And, of course, it reminds me of birch trees.
Yes. So readers met Perry and her twin sister, Pauline, in Firekeeper's Daughter. The girls were 6 years old, and now it's 10 years later. The twins are 16, and Perry reluctantly accepts a summer internship through her tribe. She's placed in the very last opening and is working in her tribal museum. And that's where she really learns about Native Graves Protection and Repatriation Act, and learns that a local college is dragging its feet on repatriating ancestors back to the tribe. So these are human remains and sacred items that have ended up in museum archives. So I pitched the story as Indigenous Lara Croft, but instead of raiding tombs, Perry is raiding museums to return stolen ancestors back home.
It's an exciting story. Let's take a step back and let's talk about where this book is located, where the setting for this book, because it is set in one of the most beautiful places in the world, the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. You have to tell people a little bit about the absolute beauty of the Upper Peninsula.
Well, you cross over on the Mackinac Bridge and you reach the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and it's absolutely gorgeous. Water, woods, waterfalls, all four seasons of outdoor activities, and just wonderful, the best people in the world.
And, of course, it's set on Sugar Island, which is sort of right there next to Canada. A lovely place, a beautiful place.
Yes. So that's where my dad's family is from, Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, and Sugar Island. And Sugar Island is in the St. Mary's River. It is in between Sioux, Michigan, and Sioux, Ontario.
And it is so beautiful there. Well, all of northern Michigan, it's just, for many people who live or were born in northern Michigan, they're always a little bit sorry about that Mackinac Bridge. There's something to be said for it. But Perry, of course, the story about Perry is wonderful. I love her pops.
Oh, yep. Her dad. The twins call him Pops. And he's a great guy.
He is great. I love his instructions for driving, because people who have not driven in northern Michigan don't understand the importance of being prepared. That section there where she is driving, and you describe the instructions he's given her, is so much what my father did for me. Tap. tap again, because you have to take into consideration that animals might be jumping across the road when you're driving in northern Michigan.
Exactly. And you don't swerve. You just slow down as much as you can. And, of course, where there's one bear crossing the road, there's usually two. So that's how the story kicks off with her crashing the Jeep that she co-owns with her sister.
Yeah, well, we don't want to tell people too much about that because we want people to read it. Because that's part of the fun. I love the reveal. You have a way to sort of carry people into the story. It's at parts, it's like very calm. It's very just you're telling the story. You're telling this family story. As I said, I love the way the detailed instructions Pops gives, because my father did that to me, particularly driving in a blizzard. So I had all the instructions, all the preparation, all the mantra over and over: what to do. And so I fell in love with him. Tell us the relationship between the two sisters, because that's also beautifully written here.
Well, Perry is regarded as the laid-back twin, the twin that doesn't get riled up about, doesn't have a lot of anxiety, doesn't particularly care much for school, just loves to fish. That's her idea of a good time is a day spent on a boat fishing. And her sister Pauline is very high achieving, high anxiety, and so their dynamic is pretty neat because they fight in the way that sisters fight, and then you know that there's so much love there too.
Perry is my kind of girl because I was raised fishing. I was fishing from the time I was two, so that's also my idea of a perfect day, is to be on a boat fishing. Now, we're talking here, I want you to explain a little bit about the Ojibwe and how it plays into this story.
So, yes, my tribe is the Sault Ste. Marie tribe of Chippewa Indians, and Chippewa is an anglicized version of Ojibwe. And so we consider ourselves Ojibwe, and that's where our families have fished in the St. Mary's River and Lake Superior for countless generations, and I love to set my stories there. I lived and worked in my tribal community for quite a while, and it's home. It's what I consider home.
Now, the listeners might not understand this story about the bones, about the skeletons. Explain what happened here, why it happened, and I still don't understand. For me, I don't understand the problem of returning the bones. I mean, it doesn't make sense to me.
Right. So, museums and institutions acquire human remains and items either from archaeology digs or inadvertent discoveries when someone's constructing a road or, you know, something like that. But our country also has a history of a crania study that was done by the U.S. Army. And so there were actual grave robbers that would dig up recently deceased Native Americans and send the skulls off to for research. And in 1990, Congress passed the Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act so that it held universities and institutions accountable. They needed to conduct an inventory of what was in their collections, and tribes would be able to request the return of the human remains that were traced back to their land. And universities, too many of them, drag their heels. They don't want to return the items. They want to hold on to them in the hopes that new technology will allow for more analysis and research.
It doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense. I mean, I can see if you want to have a few skulls around to do something. Maybe, you know, if they had I don't mean to be rude, but if, like, they had the skull of a major chief and they said, well, we want to clone him and bring him back, then that might be nice. But since they're not going to do that, I mean, what are they doing with these skulls? It's ridiculous.
Well, there's quite a few archaeologists and anthropologists that would probably give you a lot of answers of what types of research that they want to do. The issue is that, there are tribes that want these items back. And really, the end of the Indian Wars kind of was the start of collecting these items. And I think the underlying thing was relics of a dying people.
Yeah, but why the skull? I mean, why the bones? There's so little that they can discover from analyzing the bones anymore. It's ridiculous. And I'm glad Perry steps in and wants to do something about it.
The skulls, the crania studies were, I think it's called phrenology. It's a branch of science where they believed that differences in that different races had different skulls, and that by studying the skulls, they could obtain information about different races. So there is a very negative association with crania.
Well, let's just say I think those people are stupid and they're idiots, and I don't care if they have college degrees and their PhDs. There's a limited amount of things you can do with phrenology, and why particularly they have to do Native Americans, I don't understand. I can think of a few people they could dig up, but not Native Americans, you know. But the book tells this story, and people will be intrigued by it because I don't think most people know about them doing this stupid research.
Right, and when the law was passed, the Congressional Budget Office released estimate that it would take 10 years for all of the ancestral remains in institutions to be returned to tribes. Well, it's 33 years later, and there are still more ancestors that remain in institutions than have been returned. So we're really at an uphill battle.
Well, I want all the scientists and all who are involved in this phrenology cranium study, I want them to donate their heads and see if they're going to like it. I don't think so.
Right.
I don't think if we say to this professor here, oh, well, you're doing this cranium study on Native Americans, but we insist that when you die, we get your head, and we can... they're not going to allow that. So this is sometimes, you know, people are strange.
Right. And, you know, Perry was the ideal narrator for this story.
Oh, perfect. Perfect.
You know, the topic can be quite intense. And so Perry is like a breath of fresh air. If she thinks it, she says it. She is impulsive. She is passionate about things that she cares about. And so she really made for a wonderful person to be telling this story because she has such a lightness and an inner joy to her that I really needed to balance out the story.
Yeah, I'm glad you used that word joy because that's what I also found in her. And I thought, because in many ways I relate to this idea of people who have not ever sat in a boat fishing on a lake at 5:30 in the morning when there's nobody else around, they don't quite understand the joy of that.
I would agree with you. I would agree.
You know, but I would think that you've felt that feeling. And certainly when you're on the island, you're in this gorgeous place where you are just by the very nature of the nature around you, the birch trees. That's why I love the name birch that you put in, because that's my favorite tree. I used to lay under a birch tree for hours and hours reading as a child. And there's nothing as gorgeous as a birch tree.
Right.
So the character's wonderful. Perry's great. The story's wonderful. And I think at the end, people will say, okay, that's it. Now, of course, they're going to turn this into a film. I understand President Obama and Michelle Obama are taking this on as a project.
While they are doing Firekeeper's Daughter, they acquired the book adaptation rights. And so they're interested in turning it into a series for Netflix.
Well, and I'm sure Warrior Girl Unearthed will go right along with it, because it's an interesting story. It's intriguing. I think people will enjoy it. As I said, as a writer, just as a writer, your writing is terrific.
Oh, thank you so much.
I love the way that you tell the story. It's written in first person, and we really get into the character. So you've done a terrific job with this book. But the important thing is, I hope at the end, at some point, people just say, that's enough. We've done enough of this cranial study. We know. You can't find the beauty and the joy of the Ojibwe people by studying their skulls. I mean, this is ridiculous. What they have to do to find the beauty and joy of Ojibwe is to actually go to northern Michigan and meet some and meet people who are still in touch with the land. And a little admission here, the first boy to kiss me was an Ojibwe.
Oh.
So I am very partial to Ojibwes. I was 5 years old, and he was 5 years old. We were in kindergarten, and we were doing a play, and he had to kiss me. And he did it with relish, I will say that. we were great pals, and so my first kiss was with an Ojibwe. And I remember it fondly. Of course, in northern Michigan, this is where people have to learn about Ojibwe, not from their skulls, right?
Right.
Okay. Well, again, I want to thank you. I don't know if your dad is like Pops. I hope somewhere you certainly learned.
Yes, very much so.
That's what I hoped. I hope that you had Pops was your dad, because I don't think you can make it up. He's so good. He's really wonderful. I just love him, and I think it's wonderful the way that you've written this book. So, Angeline Bouly, the name of the book is Warrior Girl Unearthed. It's a fantastic cover and beautiful quality. Also the paper quality. You know, as somebody who loves paper, Northern Michigan paper lover, they've done a fantastic job for you.
Yes. Okay. I'm so fortunate to be with Macmillan.
Exactly. Wonderful. And your website is?
AngelineBouly.com.
And it's absolutely a wonderful read. People, get this book. And Angeline, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been wonderful talking to you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Okay. You take care now. And are you headed up north for the summer?
Memorial Day weekend, yes.
I was just going to say, perfect time. Perfect time to head up there, and it's going to be glorious. So enjoy and sit under a birch tree and catch a trout for me. My goodness. I hope you like the fish, because I certainly do. Anyway, again, thank you so much.
Okay. All right. Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye now. Bye. Okay. Oh, wow. Somebody who's going to be. Oh, I love it. Trout. That's, oh, my goodness. Everybody, have a wonderful, wonderful day. It's gorgeous. Go and smell some jasmine. Go and smell something. Gardenias. Bye-bye.